when the Buddha gave the most succinct statement of his awakening. It was a principle of causality. From the arising of this comes the arising of that. The cessation of this comes the cessation of that. When this is, that is. When this isn't, that isn't. Now, he wasn't stating it simply as a curiosity that nature works this way. He was more interested in the principle of causality in your actions. In other words, you act and there are results. The results depend on the quality of the mind. And there'll be some things that you do that you like to do and they give good results. Some things that you don't like to do and they give bad results. Both of those are no-brainers. If you like to do it, it gives good results. It's very easy to do it. If you don't like to do it and it gives bad results, there's no reason to do it. It's when you encounter actions that you don't like to do but give good results, and those that you do like to do that give bad results. That's when you have to start thinking in terms of the direction of your life. Where do you want to go? Can you sacrifice your likes for the results, or are you going to make your likes take over? That's the big question we have as we practice. There's a lot of things that we have to let go of in the practice. Right now you could be thinking about all kinds of things, but no. It's time to meditate. And there are a lot of things we have to do. You have to keep bringing the mind back, bringing it back, bringing it back. Sometimes it gets tedious, but you keep bringing it back. That's if you have a sense of direction, that these actions will go someplace. As the Buddha said, one of the great blessings of life, one of the great protections of life, is that you have yourself rightly directed. You have an idea of where you want to go. And then you stick with it. But you want to make sure that you're going to a good place. A lot of people have a lot of determination in life, but they're headed off in the wrong direction. Other people have a purpose for a little while, and then they change direction, and then they go back again, and they go someplace else. It's like dust motes in the air. You see this beam of sunlight going through the air, and you see these little tiny pieces of dust floating around. And they bump up against each other. They go around and up and down and back and forth, and don't go really go anywhere at all. I've never seen dust motes in a sunbeam march across the beam. And a lot of people's lives are like that. Part of it is that they get easily distracted. And part of it is they simply don't have the strength to stick with one thing, even though they know it's good. This is where you have to develop the qualities that will help you stick with it. And two of them are endurance and equanimity. Endurance is the ability to put up with difficult things and not do unskillful things in response. It's a kind of independence of mind. That even though other people may be mistreating you or the situation may be bad, you're not going to make that an excuse to mistreat others or to act in bad ways. But to stick with it, to stick with things, you have to have some inner source of strength. And the mind has lots of inner resources. One of the sad facts of life is we have lots of resources inside, and we very rarely make use of them. We place limitations on ourselves by following our moods, by following ideas that are not in our best interest. And this is where equanimity comes in. Equanimity is something that the Buddha never teaches on its own. It's always part of another set of qualities. If you're just simply equanimous, accepting things as they are and just being okay with that, you go nowhere. The Buddha's images of being like a goldsmith. This goldsmith has to put the gold in the fire, and then he has to take it out and look at it, then he has to blow on it. If it gets too cool, he has to put it back in the fire again. As the Buddha said, you need all three of these activities. It's the same with meditation. Putting the gold in the fire stands for the effort you put in. But if you simply put in a lot of effort, and don't get the mind still in concentration, and don't get a sense of equanimity, you burn yourself out. Just like gold will get burned up if we're stuck in the fire all the time. If you simply got the mind concentrated, things would sit there, wouldn't develop. That's like blowing on it. And then if you simply looked at it, nothing would happen at all. But if you simply keep your mind in equanimity, there's going to be no concentration. So you have to learn how to balance these activities. You put in the effort, and you learn how to have equanimity about how long it's taking, and equanimity about the things that are going to come in and try to pull you away, or things that you would want to grab onto to pull yourself away. And when you do that, you find that when you're not following your moods, you have a lot more strength. So equanimity can simply be based on willpower. You're not going to react. When the Buddha taught Rahula meditation, the first thing he said was, make your mind like earth. People throw disgusting things on earth. People can pour perfume on earth, and it doesn't react either way. So you start out with that quality of endurance and equanimity, but you don't just stay there. The Buddha went on to teach Rahula breath meditation, and breath meditation in the Buddha's analysis is very proactive. You intentionally breathe in certain ways, breathe in a way where you're aware of the whole body, breathe in a way where you're calming the effect of the breath on the whole body. Breathe in a way that gives rise to pleasure, that gives rise to rapture. Breathe in a way that calms the mind. Energizes the mind when it needs to be energized, steady it when it needs to be steadied. Releasing it when it needs to be released of burdens. There are a lot of active things you do. The equanimity there is one for realizing this is going to take time, and there are going to be things you have to do that you don't like to do, but you don't let your emotions, you don't let your feelings come in and take over and pull you away, because they sap you of your strength. At the same time, when other things outside happen, you don't let your feelings about those things take over. You learn how to be non-reactive in that area. And again, you find out a lot of your reactions sap your strength. So the purpose of equanimity here is not simply just to be okay. Is to release you from a lot of the ways in which you place limitations on yourself, you place burdens on yourself. It's an excellent lesson on a beginning level in the Four Noble Truths. After all, when the Buddha's analyzing suffering, he doesn't say just any old suffering. It's the suffering that the mind creates for itself when it's clinging. And where does that come from? It comes from the mind's own actions. It comes from its cravings. That's the suffering that's weighing the mind down. Without that suffering, outside sufferings wouldn't bother the mind at all. And as you learn how to develop equanimity for the things that would pull you off the path, and it can be just simply a mood passing by, or it can be things that other people say. We live in the land of wrong views. You're going to hear a lot of people saying things that would pull you away from the path. You have to learn how to be equanimous about that. Not get stirred up by it, not get caught by it, not get hooked by it. When you learn how not to be distracted by these things, you find the mind has a lot more strength, that it can stick with things in the path that otherwise you wouldn't have the strength for. You can think of it as the equanimity of a soldier. A soldier goes into battle, and there are going to be setbacks. There are going to be people coming and they want to kill him. And they're going to do everything they can, fair or unfair. But he can't let himself get upset by that. There'll be times when his side gets pushed back or trapped. And all I can think is, oh, that's it, that's the end, then it is the end. I was reading about a forced march that took place across the north part of France one time. It was miserable. The people in charge of the march decided they wanted to get out of France as quickly as possible. They didn't care about whether it was a good road or not. And it turned out it was just all mud. Horses sank down into the mud up to their bodies. People were drenched in the rain. And there were people who just wanted to die. They asked their comrades, "Kill me." And that was because all the things that were going on in their minds at that, it wasn't the sort of thing that was going to kill them. They actually got out. But if all you can think about is, I can't take this, then you're not going to be able to take it. But if you find a source of strength inside, and this is what the concentration is for, is to give you strength. And also learn how not to weigh yourself down unnecessarily, picking up attitudes, picking up views, picking up feelings from other people, and piling them on your head, piling them on your shoulders. And then you say, I can't take this any longer. Those things don't come and pile themselves on you. You're the one who puts them on you. You have to see that. When you see that, you've learned a really good lesson in the Four Noble Truths. That's a great lesson in discernment, that the things that weigh the mind down come from the mind itself. It may use things from outside to weigh itself down, but the act of weighing itself down, that's what it does to itself. So equanimity teaches you not to do that. There are things out there that can get you really discouraged, and there are aspects of the path that take a long time that are going to require that you think about not how much you like or don't like what you're doing, but think about the results. Have a purpose. Be directed. And then don't put obstacles in your way. That's the strength of the mind is there. This is why the Buddha has those images of goodwill being enlarged like the earth, cool and large like the river Ganges, as vast as space. To remind us that we do have these potentials, that the mind is much larger and stronger than we think. That's when we define ourselves as being identical with this mood or having this mood, and that's me, this is my mood. Okay, that's what the Buddha says when you place limitations on yourself. So learn how to be non-reactive to those moods, non-reactive to the words that would spark those moods, the feelings that would spark those moods. And you find the things you never thought you could do, you can do. You can maintain your direction. Otherwise, as the Buddha said, the mind is so quick to reverse itself and the least little thing. And if you're lacking in endurance, lacking in equanimity, you're like those dust motes. They're going to the right, then they go to the left, up and then down. Accomplish nothing. You want to remember the basic function of the mind. It gets involved with the aggregates for the sake of something. In other words, it sees them as a means. So look at your actions as a means to a goal. And be clear about the goal you want. Choose a good goal. And do everything you can to keep yourself on the path. And shed any baggage that gets in the way. You know that story about Ajahn Lee. A group of lay people wanted to go into the forest with him. So they all showed up at the main railway station in Bangkok. And a lot of them brought a lot of luggage. They were hoping to get porters when the train arrived at the station they were going to. And Ajahn Lee just started walking down the tracks. Of course, when the jhana is walking, everybody else has to walk. And people started complaining, how can I walk with all this luggage? And then John Lee didn't say anything for a while. He finally said, well, if it's heavy, throw it away. So they stopped and rearranged their luggage. Each person got down to one bag. Everything else got thrown into the lotus ponds beside the railroad track. By the time they got to the next station, everybody had a manageable load. That's when John Lee let everybody get on. If you don't weigh yourself down with a lot of baggage, you find that you can walk far.